Amen. Good morning. Good morning. What a wonderful way to begin worship on any Sunday, but also the first Sunday of 2024. What a blessing to be able to witness as a church family the obedience of two young men who have made a decision to follow Jesus. We'll talk about what that decision entails this morning during the sermon, but as we begin this new year, what a wonderful testimony to each of us that we should make our faith a priority. And I don't know of a better way to show that than following through in baptism. And so this morning we get the joy and the privilege to participate with both Wyatt and Teddy as they follow through in believers' baptism and in obedience to the decision that they've made. And so Wyatt, we'll go let you go first. This is Wyatt Baker, and we met a few weeks ago now to talk about what it means to follow Jesus and the fact that he had made that decision to make Jesus not only his Savior, but his Lord. And so Wyatt, because of that testimony, it is my privilege and honor to baptize you, my little brother, in Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk a new life. And Teddy. And this is Teddy Baker. Teddy. He and I got to meet at the same time that Wyatt and I met, and we visited about what it means to follow Jesus. There you go. You want to step up or you want to stay there? You want to stay here. Okay. Teddy, because of your profession of faith and the fact that Jesus is your Savior and Lord, it is my privilege to baptize you as well, my little brother in Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in a new life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for a visible image of what it means to be buried and raised to new life. That's really what happens to us spiritually. When we surrender ourselves to you and make you Savior and Lord, we die to ourselves so that we can live for you. And so baptism is that picture of what we do spiritually, to surrender ourselves to you, to die to ourselves so that we can live for you. I pray for Wyatt and Teddy as they embark on this new life. I thank you that they were brave enough to stand before our church family to profess you as Savior and Lord. And I pray that it would be an inspiration for each of us to stand daily and profess you as our Savior and Lord. May we never be ashamed of you. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for who you are. And we thank you for the call that you've placed on our lives. So today, be glorified, Lord Jesus, in all that we do. It's in your name we pray it. Amen.
We do welcome you to worship this morning. Would you stand with us as we sing, "Come People of the Risen King"? Thank you.
Happy New Year. I hope you are glad to be here today to worship with us. If you're visiting, hope that you will take time to fill out either the yellow card that's in the pew in front of you. You can put that in the offering plate as it comes by a little bit later. Or on the back of our bulletin, we have our announcements, and there's a QR code that you can scan, and it'll take you down to our link tree that you can fill out your guest form there digitally. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we want to encourage you to take your visitor card down by the nursery to our blue wall that says welcome. And we have a gift to give you, and we just want to say thank you and just to let you know a little bit more about us, and we can get to know you a little bit better. So glad that you're here to worship with us today. If you'll join me in prayer as we get started. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have as a family to come before you and lift our voices, to give you the praise that you deserve. I thank you for the testimony of Teddy and Wyatt today and following you and standing before us in believers' baptism. That this year will be a time that they can grow in their faith, that as a church we can continue to encourage them and challenge them and just walk beside them and their family as they go through this time of learning more about you and showing others who you are. Lord, today as we open your word and Brian comes, Lord, that you open our minds and our hearts that we will hear from you today, Lord, as we continue to look for those moments to show others who you are and to show our community what a loving and great God that you are, Lord. We thank you for this time as a family before you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
And as we continue in worship this morning, we sing about our friend, Jesus Christ, this morning, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of
about Jesus.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends, they fail me. Foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah.
so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like a sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing.
Thank you for the blessings of a new year, and as we start 2024, may we grow closer to you, may our walk be more consistent, and our love for each other increase. As we worship you through our giving, we ask that these gifts be used to further your kingdom, support the spreading of the gospel here in Texas and around the world. We ask all these things in the holy name of Christ. Amen.
Watch.
blood of Jesus.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. I am washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow.
Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we have just sung about this idea that you and only you can wash us whiter than snow. I pray, Lord Jesus, that this year, as we look at the next 12 months, that you will help each of us to make it a priority to live for you. That it wouldn't just be a once a week Sunday thing, but an everyday thing. You have truly changed our lives. If we have placed our faith and our trust in you, you have changed us. You've made us someone new. Help us to live like it this year. I pray that our church would become even more of a beacon in this community and in our state, so that people would know this is a place that they can call home. This is a place that they can come and truly worship. Come and grow in their understanding of what it means to follow you. Grow in their faith. Grow in their love for you. Lord, I pray that we would be that kind of church. Be glorified in all that we do. Lord Jesus, it's in your name we pray it. Amen. One of the things that we have focused on and will continue to focus on moving forward is really this process of that we went through over the last couple of years to define really who we are as a church. There are so many wonderful churches in our community. But who are we? What has God called us to do as First Baptist Church Corpus Christi? We have a long heritage, as you know. In 2028, we will celebrate how many? 150 years as a church here in Corpus Christi. That's a wonderful heritage. And we have the privilege as believers today to stand on the ground and truly on the shoulders of those who have gone before us to make this possible. Think of all the lives that have been impacted, all of the salvations, all of the baptisms, all of the missionaries, all of the pastors that have come through this congregation. And so it's so important for us moving forward, not to rest on that, but to see and seek what God has for us moving forward. And so what we've been doing over the last couple of years is really trying to define what that looks like, what it is. And really what we've come back to is, many of you have said and shared with me before, this vision that we have for making moments and growing is really just a call to be who we should be anyway, right? Get back to the basics of things. Understand who we are as believers and how we should live our lives each and every day. In a word, discipleship. In a word, discipleship. Our church is known for making disciples. That doesn't need to change. In fact, it needs to become stronger. As we've said, our vision for 2028 is to be the church in town that everybody knows. That's the place you go. If you want to grow in your faith, that's the place you go. And so it's about this idea of discipleship. All of us, if we are professed believers in Jesus Christ, if we would say to someone else, Jesus is my Savior and Lord, then we should all be doing our best each and every day to grow closer to Him, right? And we do a good job of that sometimes, don't we? I mean, don't be bragging, but be honest. I mean, you read your Bibles. You're here today. You come to church. We do a good job of following Jesus sometimes. But then there's the other times, right? We don't want to talk about the other times. But there are other times when we maybe aren't as close to Jesus. And by the way, on a side note, if we feel distant from Him, He didn't move. We moved. We took our eyes off Him. We lost our focus. And so sometimes we do a good job of following Him, but there are other times when we could do better. The thing that I want us to focus on in 2024 is for the sometimes to be more frequent than the other times. Follow Him a little more this year than you have. In fact, the way I look at it for myself and what I write down for myself is, will I be closer to being like Jesus in December of 2024 than I am today? Am I going to grow in my faith moving forward in this year? And if so, how am I going to do that? We have to put ourselves in a position of doing that. And so this series that we're starting today that will carry us through this month is going to be talking about how we grow, what our focus should be. And I want to read a quote. It's a little lengthy, not too bad. Many of you know that I have several people that I have looked up to in theologians and critical thinkers, philosophical thinkers, Christian thinkers, and some of those have formed my understanding of faith and who I am. Thomas Merton, St. John of the Cross, Meister Eckhart, Dallas Willard, Richard Foster, some of those that you've heard me mention in the past. Dallas Willard is one of the foremost thinkers about discipleship, and so you're going to hear me reference him quite a bit through this series, I'm sure. But listen to this quote, because it's at once somewhat condemning, but at the same time, liberating. Jesus told us explicitly what to do. We have a manual. Just like the car owner, He told us as disciples to make disciples. Not converts to Christianity, nor to some particular faith and practice. He did not tell us to arrange for people to get in or make the cut after they die, nor to eliminate the various brutal forms of injustice, nor to produce and maintain successful churches. These are all good things, and He had something to say about all of them. They will certainly happen if, but only if, we are and do what He told us to be and do. If we just do this, it will little matter what else we do or do not do. Now, I don't agree with that 100%, but hear what he's saying. We have to get back to the basics. We can't give something we don't have. If we are not focusing on our own spiritual development, our own growth, none of those other things will happen. But when we put him first, when we seek to follow him above all else, all of those other things he will lead us to do. But we've got to start by looking at us, by examining ourselves. If you read my blog, I posted this past week. And so for 2024, I gave us three somewhat, I wouldn't say a formula, don't put that tag on it, but an idea of how to help us move forward in this new year. Six words to help us move forward. You ready? Look in, look up, and look out. Look in. How is it with your soul? Examine yourself. Look up. Look to God for directions. Look to God for clarity. Look to God for courage. And then look out. Look out towards others. You don't exist for yourself. The greatest commandment that Jesus outlined for us is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it. What? Love your neighbors as yourselves. See, we weren't saved for ourselves. This isn't about us. We don't exist for ourselves. So we look in to examine ourselves, to see how it is with our soul. We look up to him for direction and clarity, and we look out to see how he wants us to serve, how he wants us to reach out. What impact will you make this year? Will you be more like Jesus on December 31st, 2024 than you are today? What impact will this church make in 2024? Just as we don't exist for ourselves, the church does not exist for us. The church exists for him and to make a difference in this world, reaching others for him. So it starts, really, as I said, with looking inward. Looking inward. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, and we're going to camp out in this verse today. Let me turn the page. Examine yourselves. 13:5, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Examine yourselves. The preceding verses before this, in verses 1 through 4, we find that the church at Corinth was accusing Paul, maybe not truly wanting to follow Paul. And so Paul turns the tables and he says, why don't you look at yourselves? You've heard the old expression, when you're pointing a finger at someone, you've got three or four pointing back at you. Three if you have fingers like me. Examine yourself. It's always easier to point fingers at someone else, to examine someone else, right? That's why Jesus gave us the parable to remove the log from our own eye before we try to attempt to help our neighbor remove the splinter from theirs. Examine yourself. He calls us to do this emphatically. Socrates, a Greek philosopher, said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Now, I don't make a habit of necessarily patterning my life around ancient classical Greek theologians or philosophical thinkers, but I think he's onto something. The unexamined life is not worth living. If we don't take the responsibility to examine ourselves, to set a course for our lives, then someone else will do it for us. We need to take responsibility to examine ourselves, to own that responsibility. If we don't, we're just going to move back and forth with every whim, every thought, and not make any impact, no fulfillment. So Paul tells us to examine ourselves. This is up to you. Only you can examine you. Only you know your heart. Only you and God know your heart. Only you can examine yourself. This is your responsibility. Three times in this verse, Paul makes a point to say, this is your responsibility. Examine yourself. It's emphatic. You can't delegate this to someone else. This isn't your parents' faith. This has to be your faith. Examine yourself. John Wesley is known for saying, how is it with your soul? Examine yourself. How is it with your soul? This isn't about an adherence to a doctrine. It's a look at the vitality of your faith. Paul says, examine yourself to see whether you are what? In the faith. See, we can act like we're in their faith. I just had a comical conversation as we were greeting people coming in this morning about how we have the nature to drive on the way to church, taking swings at our children in the back and yelling and making idle threats. And then as soon as we open the door, the face changes and we're, right? We need to make sure that our faith is real. Examine ourselves. Take some time to look inward. Do you have a growing relationship with Jesus? Is faith a primary part of your life? Or is it just something you do on Sunday? Does your faith affect the decisions you make, the way that you live? If any of those answers are less than you want them to be, what are you going to change in 2024 to grow? You've heard me use the illustration before. We live here on the coast. Again, back to Dallas Willard, this was his thought, not mine, but he talked about how we grow in our faith, and the fact that if we wanted to learn to sail, which growing up on the beach in West Texas, I didn't learn to sail. It's a beach, there's just no water. And so coming here, it's been a very interesting, I was back in Lubbock this past week for a meeting, and someone said, that they were introducing me to someone else, and he said, you know, he can look out his office and see boats. Blows people's minds in West Texas, I'll just tell you. But if you want to learn to sail, you've got to understand the mechanics, right? I mean, I don't sail. I know there are people in this church that are very accomplished at that. But you need to learn the mechanics, how to utilize the wind to go the direction you want to go. You've got to know all of those things. But if there's no wind, you're not going to make much progress. And that's how it is with spiritual growth. We've got to do our part. We've got to put disciplines, practices in place, time in God's Word, moments in prayer, moments in community, moments making disciples, all of these things, we've got to put those things in place. God gives the growth. God gives the transformation and change. But He can't do that if we're not making ourselves available. And so what are you going to do in 2024 to grow? It starts with examining yourself. Don't look at someone else. Look at yourself. Paul says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Only you can examine your faith. He says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. What does it mean to be in the faith? He commands us to do this, to examine ourselves. Being in the faith means living by faith. Are we living by faith? Are we trusting in God? Or are we trusting in ourselves? Are we trusting in our own abilities? Are we trusting in someone else? Trust God. Living by faith, living in faith, means that we are trusting God, that we are following Jesus daily. Are we committed every single day to make time, make moments with Jesus, in His Word, praying, meditating on what He teaches us? Paul says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. See if you pass the test. Remember, Jesus is in you unless, he says, what? You fail the test. The more literal word there is reprobate. Think about that for a minute. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith or are you a reprobate. Now, I don't know about you. That's not a word we use much anymore. But growing up, I did not want to be considered a reprobate. That was a negative thing. And that's what Paul is saying here. Are you in the faith? Are you following Jesus? Are you living by trusting God with everything? How is it with your soul? We have to examine ourselves to make sure we are in the faith. We have to spend time with Jesus, taking care of what he has called us to. Jesus did this. Jesus took time. Mark 1:35 says, early in the morning, while it was still dark, he went out away from the house to spend time in prayer. If Jesus, who we just finished the Christmas season, right? And we did a whole series on the incarnation. And if you remember, the incarnation, Jesus was fully what? Human and God. Fully human, fully God. If Jesus, the very Son of the only true God, felt it important to get away and spend time with the Father, how much more should I and should you take time to spend with Jesus? Make sure that you are in the faith. Make sure that the condition of your soul is as it should be. You see, as our relationship with Jesus grows, our relationship and how we work with others is benefited. We can't give what we don't have. We already said that. Always remember, though, that our growth is not about ourselves. It's about serving him. Are you in the faith? Or are you a poser or just playing church? Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Remember, if you're a believer, Jesus is in you. Unless, of course, you're not a believer. Examine yourself. Your life should reflect your faith. Your life should reflect your faith. Examine yourself. Is Jesus your Savior? Is Jesus your Lord? I say this a lot, I know. We don't have a problem with him being our Savior, of saving us from our sin, of making sure that we have fire insurance, that we're not going to hell when we die, but rather going to heaven. We don't have a problem with that. Where we struggle is making him our Lord. Is he your Lord? Sometimes when we are asked these kind of questions, is Jesus your Savior? Is he your Lord? We get defensive, right? You don't have a right to ask me that. It's natural to try and justify. It's natural to compare. There are always people around us that are stronger in their faith, and there are always people around us that are weaker in their faith. And so it's natural for us to say, well, I may not be the best. I would never say I'm perfect, but I'm better than that guy. That's natural, isn't it? Just me. We do that. But Paul is telling us, commanding us, emphatically telling us that we need to examine not our neighbor, but who? Ourselves. It's easy to point fingers. It's easy to examine someone else and say, well, man, I can't believe they did that, or look at what he's wearing or what she's wearing, or all of those things. But Paul says, examine yourself. Examine yourself. The only person that you can manage is you. Are you in the faith? Paul tells us, never forget that Jesus is in you. If you are a believer, Jesus is in you. There is nowhere you can go that he is not already there. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, there's one God and one Father who is over all and in all and through all. There's nowhere you can go that he is not with you. And as a believer, he is in us if we pass the test. Is he our Savior? Is he your Lord? If he is, then examine yourself and make sure your focus is what it should be. Paul also says in Philippians 4, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. What he's saying is, make sure your mind is in the right place. You see, we can't control much in our world. Have you figured that out yet? I mean, we can get really upset about things. We can wish things were different, and there are things that we can do to make a difference, but we can't control other people. We can't control much. But we are responsible to control ourselves, our thoughts, our actions. Now, in our environment, we have a problem with that too. We don't want to take responsibility. We'd rather point the finger at someone else. It was their fault. I could never do that. That wasn't my fault. Paul reminds us, examine yourself. Don't examine someone else. Take responsibility and make sure that your thoughts are where they should be. Make sure that you are in the faith. Focus on the good. Focus on him. Paul is expressing in this passage in Philippians 4 the idea of creating a habit of thoughts. What are you thinking about? How are you in the faith? Are you spending time with him? Moments in his word, moments in prayer. We need to make sure our faith is real. Will we pass the test? Our focus should always be on Jesus. Make time to examine your faith daily. As I said, through this series, we're going to look at looking in. How is it with our soul? Examining ourselves and looking up. Next week, we'll talk about looking up, the importance of thinking about God, of spending time with him. But all of that is moving us to look out. We don't exist for ourselves. If you're looking for a club to be a part of, a church is not that. We are a family walking through this life together. Learning what it means to follow Jesus and making disciples along the way. That's what a church should be. So my challenge for us as we close today, as we look toward the next few weeks of this series, is start this new year with a commitment to look inward and examine your faith daily. Will you pass the test? Are you in the faith? Only you can examine you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word and the way that it reminds us of our responsibility, the way that it reminds us that you are Lord and we are not. I pray that you would help us to truly examine ourselves, not to look to someone else, not to compare ourselves with someone else, but truly look at ourselves to see, are we living in the faith? Are we following you as we should? I can't think of a better time than the beginning of a new year. It's just another day. I understand that. But Father, as we look toward the next 12 months, we do so with anticipation, maybe even excitement about the changes this new year will bring. I ask that you would help us make following you a priority, that we would look and maybe even write on our calendar, December 31st, 2024, I will be closer to Jesus on that day than I am today. And then help us put things in place to see you make that kind of transformation in us. Give us the courage, Jesus, to truly examine ourselves, to be real with you, to be honest with you. And then give us the desire and courage to step into making a difference. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Just a moment, I'll have you stand for a time of response. I really do challenge you to examine yourself, not only tomorrow, but now, right now. Are you in the faith? Is Jesus your Savior and Lord? And if so, does your life reflect it? If there's a decision that you'd like to make, I will be here, Micah will be here, Chris will be here. If you'd like prayer, we'll be here. But more than anything, spend this time opening your heart to Him and being honest with Him. Can I tell you a secret? God already knows. God already knows. So just be honest with Him as you examine yourself now and respond to Him. So we stand and sing together.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth, deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of His blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the Spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest.
Guys, be seated real quick. Let you know a couple announcements. Things that are coming up that you don't want to miss out. You can see them on the back of your bulletin. Tonight, we have our Sunday night kickoff. We'll be downstairs in Elmore Hall. We're having a soup cook-off. There's going to be cornbread cook-off, and there's going to be cookie cook-off. Sounds like a great evening at a Baptist church, doesn't it? Yes. This is also designed to be a fundraiser for our children's ministry and kids that are going to kids' camp. And so the idea is you bring some money. You go to the favorite soup. Let's just say, for example, like mine, a taco soup. Okay, and you put your money in that, and whoever has the most money will win at the end of the night. But also, all the money that goes in goes to Ginger and our children's ministry to help for scholarships, to go to kids' camp and all that. So that'll be tonight, 5:30. And then next week, the 14th, we start our Sunday night classes as normal. You can see those around the bullets, around the building on the boards of going on. Brian will have his, they'll have a pastor's class that Brian and John or John's teaching. Stephen's doing a Run for God class. I'm doing a parenting. There's all kinds of great things, activities for youth and children. But that starts on the 14th, our normal Wednesday, our Sunday night meal and all that stuff going on. Also, you can still sign up for all that tonight if you'd like to bring a soup or whatever. Also, right next to that is a table. Upward basketball practices start this week, but games start on the 20th. And from 8:30 to about 5:30 or 6, we'll be having our snack bar open. And so we're looking for volunteers to come in the afternoon, after lunch, around noon or so, to help volunteer and help run our snack bar as our community comes in. So if you can help out on a Saturday for a couple hours, we'd love to have you help out. You can go sign up. All those Sundays are out there at the table, and I'll meet you there. If you'd like to help referee some of those games, we'd love to have you come and help ref a couple of games. If you come and ref, I give you free lunch. And so that was a great incentive there at the weigh-in. Free lunch. What could be better than that? And then also on the table out there is Women's Retreat is coming. They have information about that. that you can sign up if you're interested in that. So we hope to see you tonight for some great soup, cornbread, and cookies.
Chris, just a way to have moments together as a family. I do encourage you to come back tonight. One of the things, and I've said this in different ways throughout my tenure here, one of the blessings of serving as your pastor not only is to be your pastor, but serving alongside wonderful staff. And so we like to take moments to recognize milestones in staff tenure and accomplishments. And so this past Monday, not only did we celebrate the beginning of 2024, we celebrated the beginning of the 14th year of service that Chris has been here with us. He's served 13 years now as our, well, he's, I won't give you all the titles because they've changed four times since I've been here. But now he's currently the pastor of Families and Recreation. And so, Chris, come. 13 years of service to our church. Thank you. This is a gift for you. Give it to Mindy because actually you couldn't do what you do without her. And so, Mindy, thank you, and family as well. We appreciate you. We appreciate all that you do, and it's a pleasure to serve with you. So thank you. All right, as we are dismissed, don't forget all of the activities, all the opportunities, but don't forget next Sunday. We'll continue this series of looking in, looking up, and looking out. And so I encourage you to be back next Sunday as well. As we're dismissed today, may the God who loves you more than you can ever fully understand give you the courage to look in and look for those areas that he needs to go to work on you. He'll be gracious. He promises. Amen. We're dismissed.